Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahida.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
We hope you are all having a great week, y muchas gracias por venir otro miércoles más a pasar tiempo con nosotros.
We love spending our Wednesdays with y'all.
I know. I mean, even though it's, you know, a little, not exactly that, but it feels like it's that, you know? And on Wednesdays, like, the post goes up on Instagram, like, ustedes nos mandan mensajes, nos dan los likes, entonces hagan en cuenta que estamos como hablando.
Mm-hmm. Y luego también we get messages of people saying, like, oh, yeah, like, it's so helpful to get through traffic, or, you know, I listen to y'all at the gym or at work, and so it's, like, pretty cool. I think one time someone said they took us along on their road trip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was kind of cool too.
Like, I was definitely
in the road trip, you know. So, yeah, it's nice to, you know, spend it. You know, we're here on Wednesdays, like all of us, you know.
Just know we appreciate you all. And yeah, I don't think we have any updates so far, right?
No updates.
No, we did the update last week, but so far it's still in the same stages, y'all. We're getting there.
Yeah, it's, you know. We, like, shared our designs with family and friends, and they gave us their, you know, opinions. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of back to the drawing board and trying to take in their opinions and suggestions. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess there was some movement in that sense, but we're going back to the drawing board to make some tweaks.
We're still in the behind the scenes. but anyways, aquí les tenemos otro caso. And this case right here is just very gruesome. Y nos gusta decirles esto a ustedes because, you know, some cases, like, even though they're all true crime, I feel like some are just full with so many, like, nasty and, like,
like so many details.
Yes, that just make your stomach turn. And, you know, like, I don't know, like, Stephanie, she's very honest. Like, ella dice, like, I don't like the gruesome cases, you know? And so some of y'all listening might not like gruesome cases either, you know?
Yeah, because, like, for some reason, like, I'm in bed and, like, I close my eyes and it's the first thing I'm thinking about. The like, case, even though, like, let's say I listen to an episode early in the morning, but, like, I close my eyes and, like, why is that the first thing I'm thinking about when I'm trying to go to sleep?
Because it's hard to, like, get over it. Like, I know my cousin Cynthia, she like loves me and fully supports the podcast, but she's like, I can't listen to them because también like se le queda grabado en la cabeza, and she's like, it makes me really paranoid. So anyways, that's why we always say, like, this is a gruesome case, it's not, you know. So in case y'all are tired of hearing me say that, that is why I say, just in case there's someone out there who doesn't you know, like listening to gruesome cases. So anyways, yeah, like Stephanie was saying, this case has a lot of details.
Y hoy vamos a hablar de Pedro Alonso López.
And as usual, we will talk about sensitive topics. Entonces, queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. All right, let's jump in. Pedro Alonso López nació el 8 de octubre del año 1948 en Tolima, Colombia, y es conocido como el Monstruo de los Andes. And I know we've covered so many horrific crimes on this podcast, as we were saying in the intro, but the number of his crimes is really sickening. And, like, you know, we, as we were saying in the intro, it's like it makes your stomach turn.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. Like, even me, like, I can listen to any type of, like, true crime case, and this one was definitely on the list of, like, dark and just nasty cases.
Yeah, but as per usual, we like to include some background. He was described as a polite little boy, y también de niño él quería ser maestro. He had a really big family. He had a lot of brothers and sisters. I think he was the seventh child out of 13.
Oh, wow, that is a really big family. Pero él tuvo una infancia difícil, una infancia llena de dolor, tortura, hambre, abuso y soledad. And it was just really sad to learn about it. And, you know, to start off, his father had died 6 months before Pedro was even born. Entonces, Pedro no tuvo papá. Like, he never met his biological father.
Su mamá se llamaba Benilda López de Castaneda. And Pedro, as a child, witnessed so much for a kid, right? We read que he witnessed a lot of acts of prostitution. Y entonces, él de grande, él ya decía que, you know, all that he experienced, you know, it did have a bad effect on him. Mm-hmm. And he did know what was going on when those acts were happening. So it did affect him. And that's what he was saying as an older person.
And see, I feel like that's one of the mistakes that a lot of people make. Like, piensan que nomás porque son niños, like, they're not processing and they're not, like, mm-hmm. internalizing what's going on. And, like, as someone who works with children, they are smart. They are completely aware of their surroundings. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not, like, consciously internalizing everything, mm-hmm. but it is all going in.
Yes, and then, like, they grow up, put two and two together, mm-hmm. and, like, oh, that was happening.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And that's why childhood trauma is a thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, it wouldn't be here. But anyways, besides her occupation, la mamá de Pedro was not kind to her children at all. She was very tough, all about the tough love. And it was just very rare for Pedro to feel, you know, that loving motherly side of her.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in his childhood, things took a turn. So in el año 1957, su mamá de Pedro lo encontró abusing his little sister. And this was when Pedro was only 8 years old. Entonces, su mamá lo corrió de la casa and told him that he did not want to see him ever again. And, I mean, she was upset. Like, he was abusing a smaller yeah. sibling of his.
And it's like, that's a very, como se dice, like, tough thing to see as a mother. But then also you have to think about, like, he's only 8 years old. Like, que iba a ser un niño de 8 años afuera? Like, she threw Pedro with no money, no help. I'm not justifying what he did. Mm-hmm. I'm not. But I'm kind of just saying, like, maybe as a mother, you kind of want to also help that child.
Yeah, find know? Help. Yeah. You know, see if there's any programs. I don't know.
Yeah, or even, like, as an 8 year old, why... Or how does an 8 year old know all of, mm-hmm. how, you know, yeah. what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's a tough situation because it's like, as a mom, you're going to be mad, but I don't know. It's like, it's not black and white.
Yeah.
You know, there's like gray areas, like you need to figure it out. And us, like, we don't even know. We're not professionals. Like, you have to go look for the professionals yeah. to guide you because it's complicated. Entonces, después de esto, Pedro estaba en las calles y luego un señor se le acercó y le ofreció ayuda. Y Pedro aceptó la ayuda y se fue con él. Y ese señor realmente no lo ayudó, like, no lo llevó a su casa de Pedro, no lo llevó a buscar ayuda, nada de eso. Él lo llevó a un edificio abandonado y allí el señor abusó de Pedro y allí lo tuvo por un tiempo.
Dude, that is so, like... Sad, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. Y no estamos seguras de cómo fue que Pedro salió de allí. Solo sabemos that he finally made it out eventually. And this thing that had just happened to him, which is something very traumatic and something very dark and full of pain and hurt, you know, this completely changed him and his hate towards the world began.
Uh-huh. Él dice que allí empezó su desconfianza de la gente y él tenía miedo. Y él dice durante el tiempo que él estaba en la calle, él se escondía durante el día y ya en la noche él salía a buscar comida.
And soon after this, he made his way to Bogota, the capital of Colombia. Y a los 12 años, una familia americana viviendo allí en Colombia lo adoptó. They kind of just took him in. And this was just porque lo vieron en la calle pidiendo comida. And so, you know, if you see like a child all alone asking for help, I think it was only a matter of time until someone with a good heart reached out, you know? Entonces, now he had a place to stay, a roof and food, which is great. And they finally enrolled him in a school for orphans.
Pero en el año 1963, he ran away. And this was 2 years after because he had been molested by a male teacher there.
And so once again, Pedro is now back on the streets. He couldn't find a job and he did try looking, but he had no experience. And, you know, he was young. I mean, you know, something to think about. So no place was really trying to hire him.
So then he turned to stealing. A la edad de 18 años, él se mantenía porque él robaba carros y vendía las partes de los carros, right? Mm-hmm. And this was what he was known for, and he was, like, good at it. And other people who stole looked up to him because, again, he was good at stealing and selling, cashing out for money mm-hmm. from the car parts that he sold.
And so eventually he was arrested for stealing cars. He was 21 years old at this time, and he was sentenced to 7 years. And while he was serving his time, apenas llevaba dos días en la prisión, when he was brutally gang raped by 4 men. And while he was in there, he made the choice to hunt down the 4 men that raped him. And I feel like this is just like, It's crazy to think about, like, how many of these type of experience he has encountered. And mm-hmm. he's only 21. And, like, imagínate, like, this is all he really has known from life.
Yes. And, like, from, in, like, pretty much infancy, mm-hmm. his life has been pretty tough. You know, he made this choice and he had a knife in the prison and he hunted them down one by one.
Cuando salió de la cárcel, se fue a Perú y empezó a matar a niñas. Pedro López dice que by 1978, he had killed over 100 girls before being caught and captured by members of an indigenous tribe in northern Peru.
And he was caught trying to kidnap a girl. But the thing is, like, the community members, ellos ya estaban preparados para, you know, capturar a esta persona who was stealing girls in, you know, the area. They were prepared to kill him. Lo querían matar. They did beat him up, pues. They even buried him alive with only his head sticking out. And they put miel on him so that ants can essentially, like, take care of the rest. Dang. So, again, really brutal and, like, a lot of details.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, you know, he has gone through a lot, you know, Pedro. But, you know, the number is pretty high. He's killed over 100 girls. And that's a lot.
Over 100 girls.
Over 100 girls.
Yeah, that's crazy. It is a lot. I feel like one shouldn't have even happened. Imagine 100.
Yeah.
Pero una missionary de los Estados Unidos habló con la gente del tribe because this person was friends with them. And so she was ultimately trying to convince them to let go of Pedro and, you know, turn him into the police instead of letting him have this, like, very brutal and very, like, raw death. Entonces, the tribe decidió aceptar, you know, that suggestion. And so the missionary supposedly, so this is a version of the story, right? So some people say that the missionary ended up taking Pedro to the police, but along the way, she felt bad for him. Y entonces lo que hizo fue que lo llevó a la frontera de Colombia, and then she just kind of let him go. Again, that's just one of the versions that people say happened.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, you can't help but feel bad of, like, little 8-year-old Pedro, right? Who got kicked out of his house and he endured so much pain because of that. But also, like, he did commit so many crimes. How did this missionary feel bad for the person that was in front of them?
Yeah.
That they knew that this person killed over 100 little girls. Maybe this missionary didn't know about Pedro's infancy. So, like, how did she feel bad?
Yeah. I mean, because 100 girls, it's a lot of girls that he murdered, you know? Entonces, también hay que ponernos a pensar en la familia de esas niñas, en la vida de esas niñas, you know? I don't understand how you could feel bad for someone who showed no remorse and was willing to kill over and over again. But there is another version of this story, and that is that she did take him, but that the Peru authorities did not open up a case because it was costly. And so they just kind of let him go instead, and they actually deported him back to Colombia instead of, like, being the ones responsible to go through all of, you know, everything that Pedro did, basically.
Y después de esto, que ya se fue para Colombia, desde allí él siguió camino a Ecuador y mm-hmm. durante ese tiempo él ya luego confesó que él mataba a 3 niñas por semana.
He strangled and raped them and then engaged in sexual activities with the corpse. He would hang out with them until he got bored and then he would go hunt for more. And for some reason, Pedro had an obsession with the eyes. Like, there was a certain look of innocence in daylight because he liked looking at their eyes and watching their life being taken away. And it's just, like, me da escalofrío de pensar, like, this is really what's going through someone's head.
I don't know how he could hang out with, like, corpse.
Yeah. Until you get bored of them.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's so much detail in this case.
I've always been, like, very intrigued by, like, because this is not the first time, right, that you hear about something like this, like a serial killer que le gusta, you know, just kind of hang out with, like, the dead bodies and stuff. And I always wonder, like, why, like,
what is going on?
Yeah, like,
the process, the psychology.
Yeah, the psychology side of it. Exactly. Why does that happen?
And so, he would continue on hunting little girls and he would follow them for days and then just wait to strike at the perfect time to take them away.
Authorities did see an increase in cases, pero ellos pensaron que era all because of the South American like sex trafficking thing. And, you know, that was also like of like there's a big increase in like human trafficking. And so they kind of just related it to that. Like they never thought que it was a certain someone that was causing all of these crimes.
In el año 1980, there was a flood in a ciudad, Ambato, in Ecuador, and four bodies appeared because of this flood. Y cuando examinaron los cuerpos, supieron que alguien les hizo daño y, you know, they were buried, and this was a crime, like an intentional crime.
Mm-hmm. And soon after from this discovery, Pedro was arrested when he tried to kidnap the girl. And esta niña estaba con su mamá y él intentó to snatch her and he started running away, but the surrounding people stopped him and told him hasta que llegó la policía por él. Y él fue detenido en el marzo del 1980. I'm glad that people like stepped in and tried to stop, because the number of videos que yo he visto donde alguien ha tratado de llevarse a un niño y todos los que están alrededor like kind of just freeze. Get stuck. And I mean, I get it. Like, it's like holy crap, this is happening, you know, but I'm just glad que
some people can like snap out of like, you know, the whole like freezing state, you know, and it's like what, fight or flight type of thing. So this is nice reading that people acted.
And they saved that little girl ultimately. Mm-hmm.
Entonces, cuando lo detuvieron, él no estaba cooperando y él no quería decir nada, no quería contestar las preguntas, no quería hablar con nadie.
Mm-hmm.
Y entonces, con los cuatro cuerpos que aparecieron y lo que había pasado with him, like, trying to kidnap this girl, they were trying to see if there was a connection between these two situations. Authorities had a lot of questions.
Y nada estaba conectando, pero querían hacer una investigación. Pero él no estaba hablando. Like, he was not cooperating with them whatsoever. It's probably because he knew.
Yeah. So the investigators had to come up with a plan. And so they called in a priest and I guess in hopes for Pedro to confess to the priest.
And the priest came in and gained Pedro's trust. Y él empezó a hablar con él. Pedro confesó todo lo que había hecho to the priest, and it got to the point where the priest could not handle it, and he actually asked to be removed from his presence. Like, that's how horrifying the details were.
Yeah, and like the numbers, porque, I mean, yeah, he confessed to so many murders, like más de 100.
It's a lot. Y las autoridades no le creían al principio. Ellos creían que eran unos números demasiado alto. Y por eso es que no le creían. I mean, who gets away with 100 murders? Can you believe that? But along the way, se me hizo muy interesante lo que Pedro hizo, because Pedro noticed que las autoridades no le estaban creyendo. Entonces, él les ofreció llevarlos a los cuerpos to see if maybe, you know, that way they would take him seriously.
Mm-hmm. And so he did just that. He took them to the bodies. He took them to a site that when they searched it, they got 53 bodies of little girls between the ages 8 and 12.
Makes me like, ugh, you know?
And like one site.
Yeah, in one site. Pedro los llevó a 28 other sites, but no other bodies were found. And so ultimately, Pedro was charged with 57 counts, but with boost to 110 counts because of his confession.
In el año 1981, Pedro was charged to a full sentence of 16 years. He completed 2 years in Ambato, and the remaining, he was transferred to a penal called García Moreno.
In 1994, he completed 14 years in prison and was released 2 years early on good behavior. I don't know how good behavior balances out everything that he did.
Yeah, I don't know either, but he was released on August 31st, 1994, as an immigrant and handed over to Colombian authorities, who later charged him with a 20-year-old murder.
When he was taken in, he was declared insane and held in a psychiatric wing of a Bogota hospital in the year 1995.
1998, he was declared sane and released on a bail on certain conditions like more treatment and things like that. But he ran away.
And before he was released, he told his therapist that he would kill again because he had this unexplainable feeling that he got when he would kill. And I think that just means that he was
not okay.
Not okay. And he was definitely like a serial killer. Like, this is why they kill.
Yeah.
Right? Because they get off on the feeling.
I don't understand how he was declared sane if he's saying these things. Yeah. You know?
And in 1998, he was released, but he disappeared after visiting his mom.
So I believe there's a warrant for him over a fresh murder that happened in 2002. Not too sure about that. Some sources say that he was last seen in 2010 when he visited his mom. And after that, no one knows anything about him.
That makes it like really scary. In the year 2012, which honestly, like, ya hablando de 2012, it doesn't feel like it was that far off. Mm-hmm. We were teenagers, almost about to graduate high school.
Yeah.
But in 2012, another murder in Colombia happened, and it had a lot of similar circumstances as the killings that he had done in the past. Mm-hmm. No one knows if it was him. No one knows where he is. But a lot of people do believe that mm-hmm. he had murdered again.
So Pedro Alonso Lopez, he murdered a minimum of 110 young girls from the years 1969 to 1980. But he does claim that he murdered over 350 victims across Colombia, Peru, and Ecuador.
Pedro was a person who referred to these girls as his muñecas, as his amiguitas, and it's sick.
That comment right there makes my stomach.
Amiguitas.
Yes. Like,
ugh, can you, I know.
I can't. I don't want to think about it too much. It or just like, makes even just, my stomach hurt.
Even just like thinking about how those were probably some of the last words that the little girls heard.
Yeah. We have a quote from him, and él dice, and I quote, "I like girls in Ecuador. They are more gentle and trusting, more innocent," end quote. Y él también dice que he committed these crimes because he lost his innocence at the age of 8, so he would do the same to all these little girls.
That's just, I don't know. It's
just because you went through something doesn't mean you have to cause that same pain to other people.
Yeah.
You know,
it's, and like, I'm also thinking about like how much pain he felt at the age of 8 to make his whole brain like rewired and want to kill and all that, you know?
And do that to potentially 350 girls.
That is insane. We do not mean to scare you all, but as of now, he's kind of nowhere to be seen. He could be alive. No one really knows. But as of October 2022, which was last year, he would be 74 years old. So hay una posibilidad que él todavía esté vivo.
Yes, pero ya más viejito.
Más viejito.
This is a very gruesome case. And I don't know. I think it does open the conversation up. Like, obviously, this person shouldn't be on the streets. It should have been stopped.
Yeah.
Right? Help should have been there for him.
Yeah.
As a little 8-year-old, right? In order for him not to have done all this.
Mm-hmm. This guy right here, Pedro Alonso Lopez, he is low-key the boogeyman. Like, he is low-key what little girls are going to be scared of, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, who knows if he is in Colombia or in Ecuador or in that area. He might be somewhere completely new. He might be even here in California. And I think that's the scary part. Like, no sabes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is. I think it, you know, especially, well, now he's older, right? Mm-hmm. But when, you know, he was on the run and even slightly younger, that's still scary.
Yeah, it is.
Because, like, who knows if he did commit more crimes. And honestly, like, I mean, by his statements, it's likely that he did commit more crimes.
Yeah, he showed no remorse. And he's literally saying, I like the feeling of killing. Mm-hmm. So what can you expect? Pero pues como dice mi mamá, hierba mala nunca muere. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Hopefully, though, he hasn't murdered anyone else.
We understand this is a gruesome case. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to hear, so hope that y'all unwind from, you know, this true crime case. If it is gruesome for y'all, go treat yourself to something to get your day going and mm-hmm. not be stuck on this case for so long. If y'all are interested, of course, like, do more research, and like, if you read about him and whatnot, but
come yeah. talk to us over on Instagram.
Yeah, let us know what you think, because this one is a lot to like talk about and yeah. unravel, you know, all that. So yeah, we hope that y'all like this episode, and thank you for listening, and we'll see y'all next week.